Let's open our Bibles. Go ahead. We haven't figured that part out yet. Romans 15, verse 1. And so you're aware this is your warning. So I've prepared a shorter message for you today. Don't worry. But look at the clock. It'll probably be a few minutes after 12. If that's a problem, you can sit in the foyer or whatever. But I'm just letting you know right now, we'll probably be a few minutes over today. Time well spent, I think. But all that being said, Romans 15, verse 1, much in line with what we've just heard about, I think the Lord has a message for us today, and it's this: the blessing of a biblical burden. Can you say that out loud? It's on the screen. The blessing of a biblical burden. Romans 15, verse 1 in the New King James. Read with me in your Bible or on the screen. We then who are strong, we're standing. We've got two shoulders able to support someone else. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples, the principles. It can even mean the failures of the weak, not to please ourselves. Paul's writing by the Spirit. He says, let each of us, that's every single one of you and me, let each of us please his neighbor for his neighbor's good, leading to what? Edification. That means building up, the building up of the body of Christ. For even, verse 3, he says, even Christ did not please himself, but as it's written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. That's Psalm 69, verse 9. Sin was our problem, not God's, not Jesus's, but Jesus made our problem his problem. And he solved it. And he didn't just solve it and stop, but he serves us even still to this day. For whatever things, Paul says, verse 4, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, verse 5, Paul's praying here, by the way. Now may the God of patience, you're going to need it, and comfort, you're going to need that too, grant you to be like-minded toward one another. And that's just a beautiful thought, again, for such a time as this, right? We have great diversity in the body of Christ, and there are those enemies of the cross of Christ who are trying to amp up and fuel those differences, our diversity, and to use it against us. Paul says, don't do that. I'm praying for you. God is for you. It starts with you, that he would grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Jesus Christ, that you, all of you together, may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, open your word to us today. Speak. We know you will. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what your word says to us today, God, and how we might apply it. We thank you for the privilege, Lord, of reading your word, God, studying it together, putting it to work. In Jesus' name, let's say together, amen, amen. Like this text so clearly says, as followers of Jesus Christ, we don't have to be following him very long to read, to find passages like this, where we're clearly instructed that we, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're not to merely just live our lives for ourselves, looking out for our own situation, seeking to just please ourselves, caring about only ourselves, our passions, our pursuits, our pleasures. We are not to live that way because Jesus did not live that way. As this passage says, because Jesus paved the way, he's gone before us, he set a standard for us. And because he said, follow me, right? And you said yes to that if you're a believer, if you're a Christian. Because he said, take up your cross daily, die to yourself and follow me. This is what we set our lives, the course we set our lives on. What we're aiming for more than anything else is to follow Jesus. Glance back at this text with me. Because Jesus did not seek to please himself with the life that the Father gave to him, because he took the burdens of others upon himself, because he made our reproaches, our burdens, our problems his own and gave his all to fix them, He met us where we were and solved the problem of sin, and as we said, serves us still because that's who he is, because that's what he's done. Paul says here, that's what we're to do, and that's what you're to do. If we desire to be called his followers, we must prayerfully pursue this end. Francis Chan said this, it's on the screen. Following Christ isn't something that can be done half-heartedly or on the side. It's not a label we can display when it's useful. It must be central to everything we do and are. What does it look like to have a biblical burden for someone else? And we define that in that way, a biblical burden. What does the Bible have to say about a burden for someone else? This area of Christian service, what does that look like? A burden, a passion, a investment of time, talent, and treasure, right? In someone or something other than yourself, what does it look like? We saw that today, right here, right now. What a blessing. Amen. You saw it. It sat in front of you and you just heard that heart, that beautiful heart just pour out, rejoicing about the work of the Lord through hardship and difficulty and challenge over the years. It looks like alternatives. It looks like Heidi. You saw that today. And to be perfectly honest with you, up until last night, I give Andy a phone call. Hey, buddy, we're not going to do Acts. We're going to do something different. Considering Heidi coming and sharing the importance of this topic, I felt the Lord just tune my heart in to share something like this. What was exemplified for you and for us, for me, right? And the importance of having a biblical burden for someone, for something, somewhere that the Scripture supports. What it looks like, how it works, how important it is that every single one of us as Christians would share in the same. So we're going to talk about that today as our title suggests. This is, listen, this is God's purpose for his church, that you as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus, would have a biblical burden. This is why we're still here. We are here to work, and that's perfectly made clear in the Scripture, as we'll see shortly. Up until the time that our work is done and we head for heaven, we go home. What does this look like in real life? Again, we just saw it. But let's look to Jesus. Jesus, of course, is this supreme example, as Paul said here in Romans, of a selfless, burden-bearing servant. Not just here. How about Philippians 2:4? And we've referenced this verse quite a bit lately, which is interesting. But Jesus said, let each of you, pardon me, Paul said about Jesus, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. That means this. He didn't consider equality with God something to be held onto. No, I won't give it up. But made himself of no reputation. Can you imagine being eternally God in heaven and being made like your creation man? Fully God and fully man, but coming and being born as man. Our minds can't wrap our heads around it, but that's what God has done for you and for me and for the world, even those who reject him still. Jesus didn't hold on to it, refusing to give it up, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of sinful men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The God that made man allowed man to kill him. He laid his life down for you and for me. Extraordinary, incredible. That's who Jesus is. That's what he's done. That's what it looks like to have a biblical burden. It means this, that you take notice and you care for the condition of others. You consider what you can do about what they're going through. God the Son had a burden, and so he did the unthinkable. That's what Paul says here. He stripped himself somewhat of his divinity and became a servant for you and for me in just extraordinary ways. God the Son had a burden. Additionally, God the Father had a burden. John 3:16, in the New Living, it says this, for God loved the world so much. Consider what he did. That he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Additionally, We read of God the Father in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he, that is God the Father, made him, that is God the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us," that is to be the sin sacrifice, the sin offering for us, that what? We might become the righteousness of God in him. God the Father had a burden to save sinners like you and me, so he sent the Son. A biblical burden isn't merely emotional. It's not something that we just feel for a few minutes. And these days, it's interesting. It's not an emotional experience, an emotional high. We take it in, we chew on it, we consume it, we spit it out and move on to the next feel-good kind of situation, emotion. That's not what this is. The Bible has nothing to do with such empty emotion. But a biblical burden compels action. It produces some kind of response, some kind of change in the scene, the situation. And that's because, you know, Heidi referenced James, and that's where my thoughts are as well. James says that true faith produces works. And he said, without works, your faith is dead. It's not real. Faith will produce works. And that's what we see of God the Son. That's what we see of God the Father, right? I say that I have love for man, for the world, for the lost, so I'm going to do something rather than just say something. Let's put some skin on this. Nehemiah 1, verse 1. Additionally, what does it look like to have a biblical burden for someone, something, somewhere, given by God? God the Father, God the Son, let's look at some good disciples. Nehemiah, I love this passage. If you're not familiar with this book, it's a fantastic story. Read all about it. But here, verse 1 of Nehemiah 1, he's telling his story. He's sharing about just the salvation of God in so many ways for his people, through his people, to his people. He says this, "I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem." Simple conversation. Look what the Lord does. "They said to me, 'Things are not going well for those who returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down. The gates have been destroyed by fire. They're defenseless. They're helpless. They're in trouble. They're in need. They're hurting.'" What was Nehemiah's response? "When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven." What does it look like for a person like you and me with skin on to have a biblical burden? It looks just like that. You hear of someone, something, somewhere, and God stirs your heart to the point where you have a response like this. He sat down, he wept, for days he mourned, and he fasted and prayed. God, you've got to do something about this. I'm open to whatever it is you want to do, but something's got to be done. And if you know the story, the Lord did extraordinary, unthinkable, unbelievable things. The Lord opened a divine door, not that Nehemiah could say, okay, well, tapping out, I'm good, you know, but that he could go and represent that change and be the catalyst, be the ambassador for that change to come about. He said, "Here am I, send me," and God sent him, and that was the reason all this took place in the first. As we look to the New Testament, what does this look like to have a biblical burden? Someone, something, somewhere. I think you could read through all the epistles written by those apostles and see the kind of stories, the sharing, the scripture, the language of love, really, that we're talking about here. These guys pour out their hearts as they speak by the Holy Spirit, calling we Christians, exhorting us and directing us to service. Lots of passages we could read. I think Paul, as he, you know, we think wrote, penned the majority of the New Testament, he speaks the most about it, and he speaks passionately, he shares personally, so we can really understand what this is and how it's to work. In 2 Corinthians 11, I like that he speaks of this, the daily burden of concern that he had for all the churches that the Lord used him in to plant and to pour into, this daily burden of concern, a weight that he bore. It's a pastor's heart. It's a parental weight that you have for your kids, if you've experienced that, nothing else like it. It's a shepherd's responsibility, one who's going to answer to God for how he cared for those under him to whom the Lord sent him. And so he shares over and over and over about this daily burden of concern that he had for the church and the Christians whose lives he poured into. And that's what motivated him, he shares in that passage and in others, to travel the world, to experience dangers and beatings and perils and shipwrecks and all kinds of just crazy things. It was that burden of concern that led to fruitful ministry that got him up out of the chair, out of the pew, and caused him to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. Paul wrote powerfully. Even when in a dungeon awaiting his own execution, he wrote to young Timothy and continued to pour in at every opportunity into the people that God had called him to care for. I also think about Romans 9, verse 1. Here in Romans 9, Paul shares about the overwhelming burden he had to see the Jewish people saved. He was a Jew, had a heart, had a passion for the Jewish people. He says this in Romans 9:1. I don't know if you've read this, but this is unparalleled. He said, "With Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed," that is, cut off from Christ, "if that would save them." Some have never heard that before. It means just what it says. Paul's expressing here something that kind of blows me out of the water. I don't think I could ever honestly say that. I'd give it all up, Christ and Christianity and salvation, if that would mean that those people would be saved from eternal hell and separation from God. That's what he says. How could he say such a thing? Is that possible? No, it's not. But how could he have this kind of heart? Listen, something happened, right? An encounter with God, a calling of God, a biblical burden was placed by the Lord on the heart of Paul, on the shoulders of Paul. This kind of desire doesn't come from the mind, the heart of man. We're self-serving, man. And I'll pretend to serve someone just a little bit to avoid, I don't know, guilt or the perception that I'm selfish. But this kind of love, this kind of passion, this kind of affection, that's out of this world. And you're absolutely right. But it's a gift that God can give, will give every single one of his kids, because it's your heritage, Christian. It's your legacy. It's God's will for every single one of us. A passion for someone, something, somewhere. We can look back in Christian history and see it too. I don't know if you read. People don't read much these days. It's really disturbing to me. Maybe you do. Praise the Lord. Read books, man. Read books. Andy, read books, man. I love biographies. I love to read Christian history because these stories have a way of just lighting our faith on fire. Much as we see with God the Father and God the Son and Paul and Nehemiah, we read this stuff and we're, wow! Something's infecting, something's affecting my heart. It feels like I'm being lit on fire from the inside out because your faith is being stirred. You can look back and pick any number of stories in Christian history where we see examples of godly men and women who literally changed the world because they received a burden from the Lord and they responded. I love William Wilberforce, always one of my favorite characters in Christian history. This guy, if you're not familiar, felt divinely called by God to put an end to slavery, the slave trade at that time in the early 1800s. And he was called crazy by Christians, but he was passionate to a point where he's called reckless because he would not slow stop, he would not discontinue in that calling, that passion to end such a wickedness in his country at that time of slavery. He says this, it's on the screen, so enormous, so dreadful, so irremediable did the slave trade's wickedness appear that my own mind was completely made up for abolition. Let the consequences be what they would, I from this time determined that I would never rest until I had effected its abolition. He says this, my Christian walk is a public one. Remember that word from James? You say you have faith. Hey, that's nice. Show me your works. Look at my works. I'll show you my faith, because faith without works is dead. It's not real. It's not authentic. It's not honest. He says, my Christian walk is a public one. My business is in the world, and I must mix in the assemblies of men or quit the post which Providence seems to have assigned to me. My faith has to be having an effect, or it's not real, it's not valid, it's not authentic. We could talk about many other heroes in Christian history, David Livingston, Hudson Taylor. We could talk about so many heroes. I pray you read about these guys, these men and women who just radically changed the world because they simply received a burden from the Lord and sought to faithfully engage in that ministry until, well, their time was done, until God called them home. We've seen people come through the church over the years, and we've been so privileged to send out missionaries. We had young Alyssa here on the couch, you know, a few months ago, as weird as all that is. But missionaries have come through the church, been sent out into the world in Japan and South America currently. Daniel and Georgiana in Romania, the Sanchez family in Mexico. We could talk about these modern day examples as we already did with Heidi and APC, right? I could talk about the servants in this fellowship. What did we just celebrate? 18 years? Servants in this fellowship who for 18 years have been faithful in ministry. That is the power of Almighty God. Balancing family life and other responsibilities and yet being faithful in ministry. And some aren't even sitting here right now because they're out serving you and serving me and facilitating this ministry. And for decades have been faithful to those ministries. And some would say small things, insignificant, unseen things. But I tell you what, it's no different than what we dummies do up here on the stage. It's each one finding their fit and fulfilling that office, that ministry, until the Lord calls us home. I'm proud of so many of our people, and especially this year. You've not been divisive. You've stayed the course. You've prayed for your brothers and sisters. And whether you're here or you're still at home, you're continuing to do what the Lord has called you to do. What do all these people have in common, right? We could go on and on and on. We won't. These faithful servants that you see week in and week out, these missionaries who go and some that stay and all the rest, and these givers who give and you don't even know. They have a burden, a gift from God, a biblical burden for, again, someone, something, somewhere, and they're just engaging in that. As we said a moment ago, it's interesting how when we share these things, even quickly, our hearts just get stirred. I hope your heart is stirred. I hope maybe in some way, biblically, you got a divine jealousy going on. That is a desire for something like that in your life. And that's what leads you to believe and tells you that it's not just for them, but it's also for you. Christian, do you have something like that in your life? Can you amen that? Can you acknowledge that? Can you say that I feel that and I have that and I'm pretty excited about it? My heart burns for something, for someone, somewhere, and I'm committed to that until the Lord takes me home or calls me elsewhere. Listen, every Christian is divinely called to preach the gospel and to teach the Bible. You cannot ignore your commission Every Christian is divinely called to preach the gospel, to teach the Bible. But with that, in addition to that, every Christian is uniquely equipped by God for a specific ministry. And I tell you, it's one of the most exciting things when you see a Christian, a person, discover that, and their lives are never the same, and they don't want them to be. It's as though a piece of their heart, their soul, a piece of the puzzle has just fallen into place, and now, boy, wow, life is worth living. Paul tells us this very thing in Romans 12, verse 4, and I'm going to read 4 through 6 and 9 through 12 just for the sake of time. You can read the whole passage later. But Paul, he's trying to share this point with these Roman Christians. He says, think about it this way. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body, the church. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. You are not your own. You belong to your brother, and you belong to your sister. You have something that they need, and God has designed you for that very purpose, for that fulfillment. Paul says, verse 6, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. He says, verse 9, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. You have a calling, Christian, just like me, and just like Andy, and just like Heidi, and all these other guys, right? You have a calling. The Lord has designed you for a biblical burden, for someone, something, somewhere other than yourself. It's a holy calling that the Lord has for you. It's going to compel you to repeated, unstopping action. Again, until He calls you home or calls you to do something else. Do you have that in your life? Can you say, yep, this is that. I feel the burn, right? I know that experience, and it's this, and it's that, it's the other. I know, man, that the Lord's called me to it. If I neglect it, I face conviction. I might encounter discipline from God like Jonah if I go the other way, if I ignore it like Jeremiah, if I don't want to speak the word as the Lord's called me to share it. Do you have that in your life? And you can just yes and amen that today. If you don't have a biblical burden that you can, man, just respond immediately and say yes, you are missing something in your life, in your faith. A vital element of the Christian faith, your heritage, your history, your legacy. You're not a second-class Christian. It's not as though you're not a Christian. You're not less than anyone else in this equal body of Christ, but you certainly are missing something. And it's what we just read about in Romans and referenced elsewhere. It's seen in the heart of Father God. It's seen in the heart of Jesus Christ and all these apostles that we say we love and read and follow. And that is a biblical burden. Someone, something, somewhere. You're missing out. Now, to that thought, someone might say, wait a minute. Didn't Jesus say, hey, Matthew 11, 28, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Isn't that kind of what life is supposed to be like here on earth until we head for heaven? Doesn't that verse contradict everything that you're saying today in this guilt trip or whatever, as some might say? Nope. Jesus is talking about salvation in this passage that's on the screen, Matthew 11, 28. It's not in regard to service. It's in regard to salvation. Jesus is saying there that salvation is all about Him. Come to Him. He's done all the work. He's paid the price. All that we need to do is believe and rest easy, enter into His rest, believe and trust. He's talking about salvation here. Nowhere in the scriptures do we read that our lives as Christians are to be careless or burden-free, happy-go-lucky, and whatever else. But what we read about, what we see in the stories we're going to read in the book of Acts is opportunity. We see our Great Commission, we see our calling. We see the opportunity for productivity, for purpose, for partnership with the Lord in crazy things. Did your heart burn when Heidi said year one? I love that. And year two and year three and year four. And it just, man, the Lord's just still doing. And we can say 18 years, some of us, 18 years. It's crazy. Of church fellowship and year after year and this and then and the other and all the rest. And that the Lord's still alive. He's still well. He's still doing his work today. Our Lord desires to give us the gift of productivity. It's how he has chosen to work in the world today. We're in Acts where Jesus is about to ascend to heaven and he gives his disciples that great commission. He's going up to prepare a place to pray for us as our great high priest. And his way to work in the world is not with angels. It's with his own dear children. It's with you and it's with me. And God wants to give the gift, and it is just that, it's a gift. Yeah. The gift of a biblical burden to every one of us. Productivity, purpose, passion, it's something holy, it's something glorious. Something that you'll be forever thankful for, especially when you head for heaven. Most of us know we're going to give an account of our lives to the Lord when we enter heaven. We're not looking for Antichrist, we're watching for Jesus Christ. We're going to be raptured, and for 7 years, we're going to spend that time on that glorious honeymoon with the Lord Jesus in heaven before we come back down in his second coming to this earth to do a little work. But we're going to give an account of our lives. He's going to say, what'd you do with what I gave you? You know, and it's not, you know, this opportunity to condemn, but it's the platform to rejoice and reward you for what you did with what he gave you, and every single one of you and us too. Have been given by God something to do. Someone, something, somewhere. And this is what Jesus wants to say to you. Matthew 25:23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. 1 John 2:28, write that down, also talks about that. The Lord wants you to enter into heaven unashamedly, not caught off guard or surprised, but you're about your Father's business. You're doing what he called you to do. That's how he wants you to enter heaven, and me too. He wants to bless you eternally for what you chose to do in this life for him. And so he speaks to us. He exhorts us. It's kind of a poke in the leg, or a slight push behind the shoulders, a little motivation to love and good works. That's why we're here. Moving to a close, 2 Peter 1:10. He says much of the same thing. So, dear brothers and sisters, what does he say? Work hard. Can you say those two words out loud? Work hard. To prove that you really are among those that God has chosen and called. Do these things and you will never fall away. If you're engaged on the front lines of faith, you're not going to think for a second, well, am I saved? Is this real? You're fighting that fight every day. There's no cause to question. Unless you're kind of just sitting like this. I'm twiddling my thumbs, by the way. Do-do-do-do-do. How am I going to be entertained today? How am I going to consume whatever pleases me this morning? Oh, you're to consume and then you're to perform according to what you just consumed. Like me too. Peter says, work hard, do these things, you'll never fall away. Then God will give you, listen, then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you've been taught. And it's only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. How can we read this as Christians and not do this? How can I as a pastor have this in the Bible and not share it? This is the heart that we're to have in regard to service. I'm going to give an account to the Lord a little more seriously than many of you. And you are too, buddy, right? as held to a higher standard as teachers of the Word of God. So you better believe we're going to study systematically and from Genesis to Revelation, cover it all. Not skip over any section or part. You know why? Because we're going to answer to the Lord according to this end. And so we're going to read it. We're going to talk about it. Biblical exhortation demands Christian service, looking to the Holy Spirit for specific guidance. Oh, it's not legalism, believe you me. Legalism would tell you what to do and when to do it and all the rest. Oh, no. But liberty presents the opportunity and says, see the Holy Spirit for details. This is what the Word says. Now it's your opportunity to seek Him for specifics and put it to work. Here's what we want as we're moving to a close. And here's my heart for you today. We want to war against apathy. Yes. We want to war against apathy. Yes. The spirit that is self-consumed. It's all about me, man. I don't care about you. Your problems are your own. I've got enough to do. That is an anti-Christ kind of mentality. This is the attitude, as Jesus warned, would be prevalent in the last days. Lovers of themselves, only concerned with themselves. That is satanic and that is evil. That is like Him and not like your Lord. And so we want to stay as far away from anything like that as possible. Jesus came to serve. I am here to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. I'll say this. I like how Peter addresses God's people. He says, dear brothers and sisters, and I would say the same, dear precious people of God, here's your charge. Do something. Something for someone, somewhere. That's the gift that God wants to give you, that high calling, that biblical burden. God wants to unlock the blessing and help you understand what this means and how it works. He has a gift that He wants to give you. And this is how He has chosen to pour out His love on the people of planet Earth. It's through you. And what He's going to call you to do. May we be the kind of Christian who says, like Heidi and so many others, here am I. Boy, this is not what I had in mind, right? You're going to feel that. The challenges are going to come and the attacks going to be felt, but no weapon formed against you will prosper. And we've got good verses for that. We're armoring up and using our shield and swinging the sword as we are this morning. But we still say, Lord, here am I, send me. I'm not here for me, I'm here for you. I'll say this. If you have a biblical burden such as the Word has laid out for us today, praise God, good job. Keep up the good work. May the Lord continue to fan that fire in your heart to just burn bigger than it ever has before. If you have a burden for prayer, maybe you're stuck at home, maybe you're in a sick bed, and you pray, but you pray, God bless you. Maybe you have a heart for the lost and you're hitting the street. It's evangelism. Praise God. You have a gift there, a specific calling. And the Lord blesses it. Praise the Lord. If it's for discipleship and like Trey and Janelle, man, you're with the youth and you're pouring into them. It's not just a once in a while thing, but it's an everyday kind of thing. God bless that. If you recognize where our kids are at these days and you say, how could we leave them unattended? I'm going to get into the children's ministry and pour into those kids because I realize that they're my replacements. Praise God. If you have a passion for marriage or Andy, apologetics, right? Praise the Lord. If you have a heart for those addicted to this, that, or the other, as Heidi again shared today, if you are appalled by what is painfully apparent in our country in regard to the sex trade that no one will talk about, you can do something about it. The Lord could use you to shine light on that sickness and darkness. Praise the Lord if that's you. man, whatever it is, if it's standing up for those who can't yet cry out the unborn, praise God. Get to work, get to business. If you're a worker and you're a giver, that's real too. We've got great Christians in church history. They are called of God to make money and pour it into missions and ministry. Praise the Lord. And we could go on and on and on and on. If you have such a biblical burden, God bless you. Keep up the good work, but don't just sit on what you've done, but see where God might now take you further up and further in. But so too, if you don't have a burden from the Lord about anything, you're not second class, but you're missing something. If that passion that Paul had, that Heidi exemplified, if you can't respond, yep, I know what that's like. Appreciate and reciprocate. Boy, something's missing. Would you simply ask the Holy Spirit for a biblical burden of His choosing right now? That is the opportunity that's laid before you. Ask the Lord what He's called you to do, where He's called you to do it. Again, that someone, something, somewhere. God, for such a time as this, why am I here? What do you want me to do? And you pray until you get that answer. Until you see the Lord start to open doors. But don't just wait. Wait on the Lord. Seek, pray, knock. To everyone who knocks, Jesus said, the door will be open. And I think that's applicable to this. But don't just wait. Borrow someone else's burden until you get one of your own. I tell you what, because you're already called. You've already been commissioned. So find a need somewhere. Make someone else's spiritual problem your primary concern, just like Jesus did, and the Lord will start to use you, and you'll figure out kind of how this stuff works. And one thing leads very surely to another. Would you do that today? Please understand, we sang about worship this morning. This is the act of worship that the Lord is looking for from your life and from mine. I'll sing you more than a song, right? Because songs are good, but they're reflective and they represent a life that is surrendered to the authority of the Almighty. Apathy is the enemy. That is just, man, whatever. Apathy is what rips us off from everything that God has for us. So as we read, as Paul said, find your fit and fulfill it until the Lord takes you home or calls you to do something else. Again, we think back to, and we're here in the birth of the church in the book of Acts, right? These 11 disciples, a small group of, 100 or so disciples huddled together behind a locked door in an upper room with the curtains pulled tight, right? But there they prayed and there they waited on the Lord, and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. And boy, those doors were never locked and those curtains pulled again, were they? But thousands began to be affected as the preaching of the gospel and the teaching of the word went out in every little way that it does. And so too, what if our generation today, we've got problems, man. We're not ignoring them. We're focusing on the solution to them. And this week, we've got some challenges, don't we? Oh, boy, we do. People are freaking out, and they're scared, and they're terrified, and we're being pulled left, and some are being pulled right. Stop letting them jerk you around. Confusing you and keeping you from your Christian calling. Don't we know that whatever side is pulling on you, that we're to be centered in Christ? What if a generation of Christians right now today sought the Lord for this burden, this call? Heidi, you know, just coming, and I'm so thankful again, kind of a sneak attack. The Lord sneak attacked me last night. I didn't like it. I wasn't prepared for it. And we're going to do Acts, and we're all set to do what we're going to do, right? What a beautiful thing that we got to see today. And it's something that you can have, that you can share, and whether you're on a stage or not at all, God doesn't care. It's all the same to Him. But What if that's what we would do? What would we see? 11 disciples, small little group there in the upper room, and look what the Lord did. It's no different today. Same God, same Holy Spirit, same power that He wants to pour out upon us if we're willing. Lay down our gods and stop messing around, toying with sin, being distracted by so many other things, but saying for such a time as this, God, here I am, send me. Philip Brooks said this, I do not pray for a lighter load, but for a stronger back. May that be how we're thinking and how we're praying in these last days. I guarantee you, absolutely guarantee you this, you can do more than you think. So don't close the door. But pray for, look for, pursue those opportunities. Pick someone else's burden up until you get one of your own. But while we yet have time, be about your Father's business. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you now as we close, and we need about 10 hours, 24 hours, 100 hours of prayer for this next week. Lord, a lot's going on. Our enemy, it seems, is being so successful in his attempt to divide and disrupt and distract your church from why we're here and what we're called to do. Lord, many of us, we've talked more about COVID and masks and parties and politics than about Jesus this year. And that is the highest of sins, the most grievous of sins. God, forgive us and refocus us today on why we're here and what you've called us to do. God, we care about a lot of things as it pertains to the life that we live, the city in which we live, where we raise our kids, carving out the kind of culture that we want to be a part of, that's biblical, that's wise, that's sound, that you can bless. But God, remind us and refocus us on where our power lies and primarily what we're called to do and how that will then have an effect on the culture that surrounds us. Lord, help us. Help us to be about your business this week and the next and so on and so forth. I pray you'd give God the gift of a biblical burden, a calling, God, to each and every one of your kids today. I pray that they would obey you and that they'd come up for prayer or maybe ask for directions or suggestions. They'd talk to Heidi, Lord, and serve and give and watch what you do. When we simply are willing to obey you. Help us this week to be loving, loving to each other and loyal to Jesus Christ. We know that you will speak, guide, and direct. Do that, we pray. We thank you, Jesus. Our eyes are on you. Give us wisdom. Lord, we need wisdom. Give us strong, sharp discernment, Lord. We need discernment. Give us a passion, Lord, a God-given love for people, especially those that we disagree with. Thank you, Lord. Bless us as we obey you. Lord, correct us when we don't. In Jesus' name, let's say together, amen. 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 The prayer team's going to be coming up front. God bless you this week. Go love your neighbor. Amen. We've got good opportunity. If you're watching from home, we love you. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Send us an email, shout out on the stream, on the feed. We'd love to hear from you. Send us a handwritten letter. Boy, that was special. God bless you guys. We love you.
And they met that desperation with kindness and compassion and love and caring. And I went into a room and sat down, and Heidi, we just cried. And she was honest with me about CPS, but I knew that there was hope, you know. She gave me the hope that I needed to continue on that journey and not to, because it would have been very easy to not meet her that day, to not go into alternatives, to not make that tough choice and just had the baby and had it sent to foster care and be out there using drugs still. When I looked at that mountain, I knew that Jesus would leave the flock for the one and carry that one back, like the footprints palm. When there was only one set of footprints in the sand, I carried you. And I knew Heidi in alternatives was my way back. You know, when she was delivered, I worried so much about, you know, how she was going to health-wise be. She was okay. She was perfectly healthy. And I had prayed so many times during my pregnancy using drugs. God, just please just keep her safe from my selfishness. There's just not ever one moment that I don't smile at her. And she brightens my life every day. And to think that I could possibly not have her in my life because of the choice of having an abortion early on, all the challenges that I was facing then, I've overcome step by step. And there's hope. I mean, there's a chance. You just have to give yourself a chance. I have stayed clean and sober. I'm almost to 9 months. On September 8th, I'll have 9 months clean. When I walked into APC, I walked in hopeless, scared, alone. And when I walked out, I had courage and hope that I could make it through this. Through the faithfulness of Heidi and Alternatives, I found that second chance. As you consider giving to Alternatives, I hope you think of me and the hope that was placed in me to overcome seemingly impossible challenges, to help others do the same, because there's hopeless people out there, but they need strong people who come alongside them and give them that second chance so they can be better than they ever were.
So I just want to say thank you so much for the years of support that you've given to Alternatives Pregnancy Center. I hope you see Christ being magnified in everything that we do at our clinic. And a prayer that we have right now currently is that we are in need of another OBGYN doctor. And right now I have an open operations position that's open at the clinic. Just to reiterate, we went from seeing two patients a day to just few weeks ago, 18 patients in one day. God has just done a miracle at our clinic, and that's through your faithful generosity. We get to give away almost $1 million of free medical services to our community for free with the gospel attached. And so it's an incredible privilege to be here with you this morning. Thank you so much for all that you do to support us.
Yeah. So also, a way that we can help support is the baby bottle campaign. Yeah. Are we starting that today? Yeah. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so we have two different options. Because of COVID, we decided we'd go more virtual route, and that's baby bands. So you can pick up a baby band, pray for our ministry, and then it gives you the text number that you can text to give, and just wear that band, thinking and praying about our ministry. And down the road, if you want to give that to somebody who doesn't know about us, you can do that as well and share about who we are. And then if you prefer the baby bottle route, you can fill that with cash, check, change, and then bring it back in a couple of weeks. And then all that money goes to supporting women facing unplanned pregnancies. Yeah.
Well, we'd love to take even more time to bolster this ministry. It's been a privilege to be introduced to it years ago and then just see all that the Lord has done. So I don't know if you're aware, but next Sunday is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, right? Kind of part of the reason we're doing this today, and we do every year. If you're newer to the fellowship, we are unapologetically and unabashedly on the side of life because God is on the side of life. He does not make this a questionable issue. If you are not, God bless you, we love you, but we wholeheartedly disagree with you, mm-hmm. and we're not ashamed to share that with mm-hmm. you. We are very much on the side of life and do everything that we can to stand for and support that. I could go on too, now I'm gonna go on. Love this ministry for all the reasons that she so wonderfully, beautifully shared. So the bottle campaign, we've done that every year. If you wanna do that, make sure you grab some bottles. Again, the idea is, hey, you throw in your change and before you know it, when you go to the store, this, that, the other, the change adds up. Let's be smarter and more generous than COVID, as it's trying to kill just about everything good that we do. I love the alternative there. So let's find a way to give. We support them, you can support them financially, physically, and you can see Heidi about that after the service. So lots more to say,
yeah.
But my goodness, thank you for sharing with us.
And thank you for having
appreciate
me.
Appreciate you very much.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into our study. This is where the uncomfortable stage left exit. You're free to go, good job.